right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Farm podcast, hosted on your favourite bullshit platform through our Big Shill mics. Well, me and our Chris, two part breeds from Yorkshire, I suppose, the Double Nostrils. We could be, that'd be a good name, actually, Double Nostrils.
Quattro Nostrils.
Yeah. This is episode 224. The format is simple. We release four shows a month. Members get full podcast plus downloads. Non-members get part one plus a download as well. I've managed to do some configging and some coding, the matrix coding on the website. And now we can... I did that myself. I was quite shocked, actually, that it worked. Then I fucked it up week after and didn't know I had done it. There you go. All new shows are released on Saturdays, always on our private platform, which we set up to just so we could have a bit of free speech while we're last in Queer Starlings Britain. That's at sheepfarm.co.uk. We also put part one on Podomatic. They distribute them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and Tapple, and a few others as well in the podcasting world. I've never heard of the other ones, but there you go. Please subscribe to the website for email notifications for the new shows. You don't have to join. There's no membership. Just sign up. You get all the email notifications if we do a sporadic live show or anything like that. Join my larger nostril younger brother on... Oh, look, I can't really call him younger brother now. We're in his fucking 50s. Sounds a bit odd.
I'm still a younger brother fan. Not trying to skip it.
No, I'm not saying I'm not the older one. But what I mean is, it can't really say the younger one. You're not actually young, are you?
No. Not anymore.
You're an old bastard now. So subscribe to the website and join Chris on Instagram.
I've actually just got on it today for the first time in 10 days. I noticed.
Right, so you're not an avid Instagrammer then?
No,
you're not big on social media.
No, but I message people back, but I've not been on it for like 10 days because it's school holidays, busy. You know,
right? Yeah, but most people go on it every minute of the day. They live their lives on social media.
Oh no, I don't. I dip into it like 10 minutes a day. And then I end up looking at fucking cat videos.
I'll tell you what, then. Don't fucking bother joining Chris on
Instagram. No. I mean, I do enjoy doing it. And I enjoy interacting with folk. But I went on there today and got like loads of messages I hadn't replied to. Right. So sorry if I didn't interact for a while.
Well, same with emails. We get loads of that many emails. We can't reply to all of them. So if we don't get back to you, I'm sorry.
I've been busy building a greenhouse in my garden. Right. And it's been school holidays as well.
I don't do any gardening. These are brown fingers, not green.
Yeah. Like my missus, fucking hands of death. Anything she touches, she just dies.
Thanks for buying supplements from Health Bunker. Remember, use the promo code Chris's Gaping Gobs on Etsy. Did you get that? Somebody sent an email about your Gaping Gobs on Etsy.
No, they said that I think the link that you put there was didn't go to it. That's what they were trying to say.
All right. Well, why didn't you just say that?
Well, that's what you kind of said.
Did
it? Yeah, because you just need to put another link there.
The link must have died off because it definitely had a link there.
Right.
At one point, anyway. When you're copying it, sometimes it disappears, but anyway. Merch store at sheepfarm.co.uk if you want to buy any T-shirts of our Christian's large nostril designs. And that's about it, really. We got there. Yeah, there you go. You're on podcast, Chris. Face for radio.
No, I'm showing Trevor. Trevor.
Well, yeah, Chris is just...
I'm not here yet.
Yeah, he is now. Yeah. You're always here, Trev. We've got his mate back, Trevor John, who the random free human, as he goes by. Welcome, Trevor.
How are you, Trevor?
On Good
Friday.
I feel
like I should bring my Big Shill mic interview.
Yeah, I think you should.
There we go.
You should have your Big Shill
mic. A bit left out.
You've got a Big Shill guitar as well, so you trumpers, if that's the right word.
Yeah.
Ooh. Nowadays. Yeah.
Phew.
On the Big Shill in equipment angle, because we've only got mics, really. Decent cameras now, actually.
Seb just bought a new guitar, Trev. He came up here the other day, brought it up with him. I can't remember what it was called, you'd know. It was a beautiful thing, though. Big white... shiny white guitar. I don't know what
it was. Chris.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, but you know when you see summer and you know you can't help but even though I know nothing about music, I couldn't help appreciate what a nice piece of.
There's something really beautiful about an acoustic guitar. It's just the fact that it's really kind of alchemical.
Yeah,
where it's got the strings stretched across the wood and I mean, you can just sit and look at one as a thing of beauty.
A really nice strap on it. It cost him a fortune.
Has your missus been going to them parties again, Chris?
I understood.
I didn't think that was going to pass.
I understood why he spent quite a bit of money on it. Because if you're going to keep it, then you're going to use it for...
You can't remember the mate.
I can't remember. I'll send you a video of it because I actually videoed him doing a tune in the garden. And I was going to put it on Instagram. But I had my finger right next to my face. All you can hear is me breathing. So it just looked really fucking creepy.
It sounded like a terrible, midnight phone call.
Yeah. It just looked really weird. I ruined it.
I don't know if I'm nearer the camera than you two, but my nostrils look bigger than both of yours.
I'd say longer.
You have got pretty big nostrils, Trav.
Yeah.
That's a longer trip.
I'm in the club.
Yeah, I've got pretty good nostrils.
God, Instagram is just a black hole of time wasting if you're not careful, isn't
it? It is.
Yeah, I look at cat videos and dog videos.
Yeah, that's what you end up looking at. You go in there trying to be all serious, and then you just end up looking at people.
They're very funny.
They are funny, yeah.
But, actually, I've never really been roped into social media.
I have my sculpture shop on there, my sculptures on there, and I actually quite like putting the little videos together. You know, I've been making them and stuff. That's actually quite good fun. It takes ages, though. It takes hours of your time to put, like, a two-minute video together.
I was watching a video last night when I thought I should be going to bed, really, to be nice and fresh for you two today. But I was watching a video about someone restoring an old guitar.
Oh, there you go.
And it was absolutely mesmerizing to see those guys at work.
Yeah.
I don't think it was on Instagram, actually. But and it was, I think it was on YouTube. And it's just like completely, you can see the divinity in working with your hands like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the kind of concentration and effort that they're putting in and connecting with nature in that way.
Exactly the thing that the Matrix doesn't want you to do.
Exactly
the thing.
I love watching things like that. Like, I remember I watched one on making knives, these Japanese guys making knives, and it were a family, this family of Japan, and it gone down to the kids. The kids didn't want to do it, obviously, but then they ended up doing it, and it just showed them churning out these beautiful chef knives in Japan. And another one I watched about making soy sauce, that were good. I didn't realise that's a proper, it's like making wine. It's like a proper fermentation.
Well, it's like the tea ceremonies.
Yeah.
You know, you can do anything. If you're doing it with your hands and dealing with reality and nature, you can transform anything into
organic analog manufacturing.
Yeah.
Well, that's funnily enough, in my little sculpture thing, I got a review the other day. I've got loads of good reviews, but I got one the other day, and he said, "This is brilliant. You can tell
you get that when I sent them.
You can tell it's handmade and not 3D printed." So now people are putting that into the descriptions. Yeah. You know, they can tell it's handmade. It's not 3D printed. It's not mass produced. But
I know there's going to be a much more of a move towards that stuff because, especially like the only thing that we're going to understand as real now is going to be analog. Because you can't trust anything you see on a screen.
But there's enough room in the world for both, I suppose, isn't there? You know,
true.
I mean, you can't hold the technology back totally. So 3D printers are a bad, horrible thing. I'd like to have a mess about one.
Well, unless they're printing meat.
So not for food. But then there will be the world for the analog where you get your hands on it kind of thing. You know, I don't think they'll ever kill it off. It'll just become a little bit
unless
more.
Unless there's no humans left, Chris.
Bespoke.
Robot dogs.
It's become a bit more bespoke, won't it?
Well, unless we're this kind of abstract consciousness that lives in a computer somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I know for a fact that when I ring our Chris up, he's in there scraping, painting teeth. I take a piss out of him painting teeth.
Painting teeth.
I'm always painting teeth.
He's in his shed, right, with his vest on and a cup of tea in his hand.
It's true.
Oh, stop it.
Exactly like my dad, right, on farm, right, in his shed, making bits of fencing and stuff like that with a cup of tea on, with radio going.
Hey, I tell you what though, it's I'm a pig in shit when I'm in my little shed because I put a podcast on that I want to listen to, and I get it all ready for the morning, all the painting, and I've just got to finish it off with the teeth. So first thing in the morning with a cup of coffee, I just whiz through all the teeth. It's really satisfying. It's really nice.
When you think about it though, Chris, your sculptures, you paint every tooth if you like. I know it's again we take it by hand.
I know.
Yeah, it's not going through a machine or anything like that. So everyone you send out is made by hand.
Well, one of the clocks I do has got 90 teeth on it. I counted them.
There's a bit of love in every one of those teeth.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's something about, and it's the same with music, isn't it? It's the same with podcasts, I suppose, these days, isn't it? That there's something about creating something that never existed, and then it all of a sudden exists, and now it's the thing.
But that is creation.
That is creation, isn't it?
But that's a satisfaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I send mine mainly to America, my stuff goes to, for some reason. But then you just think they're in people's homes, just sitting there,
smiling at
with
them.
With a spliff in them.
even though
mostly
weird,
ashtrays.
Well, that's a lot. Also, ashtrays, clocks, mirrors. But they're really weird and they're quite graphically gory. Well, to be fair, when I was a kid, I used to make them the same, and I've just kept to that same. I like making the teeth and the stretched heads. I don't know why. They look a bit gothic. I'm not even a horror fan. Quite squeamish these days. But
it's quite hard to do teeth. Like, I mean, have you booked an interview with Jake?
Yes.
By the way, the portrait.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he'll tell you when you do a portrait, the one thing you don't want is teeth.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's really difficult to paint teeth and make it not look weird.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I've done a bit of portrait, a bit of life drawing. I used to run a life drawing class in Leeds, actually.
Yeah. Painting crackheads and knackers.
Knackers.
I remember talking about that before. Yeah, do every pube.
Yeah.
Bit of love.
Yeah, a bit of love.
It is. You can do a nice picture, though. You try and put some teeth in, and it just goes sideways. And just
organic analog creativity. Crackhead knackers.
Yeah, talking of crackheads, knackers, the men are men thing. High court judgment is a real kick in the balls to all those trans women, isn't it?
Well, I've got on the list actually to talk about in here. So preempting all that. But going back to the guitar making or the by hand. That was, I mean, is it Stradivarius, like violins and stuff like that? I've pronounced that right. I probably destroyed it. But all those, they were handmade for that individual person who was going to play it. They weren't just making a violin or a guitar, for instance. They were making them for that person, the height and the weight and how they held it and all that type of stuff. You know, that in itself is it. So that sound from that violin would have, you know, in them orchestras that were played hundreds of years ago, would have all been totally different because it were based on that one actual specific person who were a master violin maker and a master violinist, if you like.
Yeah, custom made proper. Yeah. Individual.
See, I always find it funny that no new instruments have been designed.
Yeah, there is. Well, synthesizers, I suppose, but they're a synthesis of old instruments, other
music. It's technology, isn't it? Of old instruments, but not, no one's come up with a new violin or a guitar. You know what I mean? These instruments have been around forever, and no one's actually come up with anything
like we speak about, Chris. That the engine, you know, that after the invention of the engine, there's been no progression from that, like the jet engine. Anywhere, it's just a faster jet engine or whatever. Now they don't want a jet engine, they want to go back to batteries, which they invented hundreds of years ago anyway. So none of it's new technology.
We
talking about this new technology, and it isn't new, is it?
No, it's good. It's based on old physical waveforms. So I mean, they haven't changed. Nature hasn't changed.
But it's a different waveform, isn't it? I mean, you've been in recording studios. We've all listened to music. I've had when it shifted in the 90s from the sort of analog, you're moving the dials up and down by your hands type of thing, to a digital computer where the actual mixing desk was actually on the computer and it was all digital. The sound changed. It became a very sterile environment. It wasn't the whole smelling the smoke and beer type of environment anymore.
Well, it's the difference between, you know, if you play a note on a guitar, for example, it contains all sorts of other harmonics. It's not just that note, the pure note. If you want a pure note, you listen to what they put on a, in a hospital, you know, that those kind of beeping noises, they're pure notes and they're horrible. Difficult to listen to.
And they're the notes that the guy, what was he called? The guy Adorno, he was using all that shit, wasn't it? Theodore Adorno, who was meant to have been one of the Beatles writers who worked at the Frankfurt School. There was a specific name for the music. Mike Williams were talking about it. There was a specific name for the actual type of music he was coming up with, which was very abstract, but it was.
It doesn't exist anywhere, does it?
No.
It
was very insulting. When you heard it, it insulted you.
Yeah. There's something about perfection, which is impossible to attain. And if you try and attain it, you get something that's horrible and sterile.
Yes.
And it's actually the imperfections which make us, well, so-called imperfections,
yeah,
which make us interesting and individual.
Well, again, when he'd been in a recording studio, it's generally the things, and Seb will be learning this now when he's doing his stuff.
Yeah.
It's generally the things that you're not expecting that you just pluck out, that's just that one little
thing. Oh, 100%. 100%.
I'm just texting Seb, asking what make his guitar is. In fact, he just phoned me, and he was on his way to the recording studio.
Yeah.
Because he's at college doing music, I think I told you before.
Yeah.
But he's obviously closed now, and he's obviously going, so he can use the equipment while there's no one there.
Oh, brilliant.
And, I mean, on this note, yeah. I'll jump to, I have been away for a week on holiday, and if I want to clear my head, I might read a shitty detective book, right?
Science fiction I go to.
Yeah, you go to science fiction, I go to shitty detective books. But I've noticed the difference. I bought an old one that I'd already read before, just a crappy paperback by Michael Connelly with the Harry Bosch thriller anyway in it.
Did they make that into a TV show?
Yeah. But it was so far away from the original. I mean, the guy was an ex-Vietnam veteran type of thing. He was a tunnel rat. So proper bloke, smoked fags, drunk whiskey, you know, that type of character. In the LA riots, so there were a lot of racism involved and all this type of stuff. It embodied what was going on in the early 90s. There were no mobile phones. The coppers had pagers. They were running in to make a phone call in a bar, on a payphone, that type of thing. And roll on now. So there was nothing woke in that. I can't say what a pleasure to read, but it was well written for that type of book, right? He explained everything. He built the characters up, yada, yada, yada. Roll on to another book that I started that I couldn't finish. I opened it, fucked it off. 2024, a guy by the name of Jonathan Kellerman, right? This character that he's written about has been going on since the 90s as well. And when you read him in the 90s, it's a totally different character to what it is now. Proper woke book. And I have to ask the question, has he actually written it now?
Yeah.
Is it not AI that's written that book? Because the spaces of the pages are different, the words are bigger in the book and what have you, and it doesn't even feel like the same person. And in that book, one line in that book just put me off reading it. He was interviewing some the copper in there was interviewing some witnesses, and they were Israelis, and they had to say that, oh, it's this crime's worse than when we're in Israeli defense forces witnessing bombs coming over from Lebanon, rockets coming over.
Oh, there you go.
Why? Why did that one line have to be in that book, that particular point? You know?
Well, we know why.
We know why.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I've been in the studio recording an album. I'm going to bring one out soon called The Facepalm Years, about the last 5 years. And
what's been going on in the last 5 years?
Oh, it's what a time to be living. It's just fascinating, isn't it? I was in with this guy Martin Notes, who's producing my album. He was in that band Redbox. Do you remember them? From the very, very young to the very, very old.
So he
just happened. It was one of these synchronicities. He just happened to see me in a field playing a song for a stand in the park.
Yeah.
And he liked it. He's completely awake, been awake for years. And Martin Noakes, his name is. And so he was showing me what you can. I'll send it to him. But he was showing me what you can do on AI, and it's horrible. You can basically put in we did it. We put quirky hillbilly song about sheep shearing a dog. And within 20 seconds, it had come up with two versions of a really kind of convincing, well-produced song about that, with well-written. But there's something soulless and sterile about it. It's kind of...
But the like the drawings. Is... The drawings are the same, aren't they? When you see the artwork of the producers. Yes. There's something, I don't know, off. Dark, really dark and off-kilter about it.
But it's like they've been called up from somewhere dark, isn't it? You know, like they've been summoned, if you like.
Soulless production.
Well, I was thinking, because we've been talking about clowns recently.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, it'd be good to get into that. But yeah, I was thinking that, you know, talking of dark and soulless, when you look at things like fun fairs and amusement arcades, they seem almost like a physical manifestation of that kind of DMT hallucination thing that people get when they take those psychedelic drugs, and you know, where they see all these kind of weird entities where the clowns are supposed to come from.
No, and also, I don't, have you ever found a clown funny? Because I don't.
No,
Well,
I've always found them creepy.
I don't
Even
think any.
Boris,
I don't know anyone who.
Johnson.
I don't know anyone who finds clowns funny. Everyone just says how creepy
But
they
if you
are.
think about what they're
So,
used for, Chris, it's for cleaning up after something's gone wrong in a circus, generally. They come in after there's been an act on it. Even if somebody's fallen off a trampoline and broke the leg or something, they come and clean it all up and they're, you know, smacking each other around head and whatever. So it's not even nice humor, is it? Is
No.
what I'm trying to say.
And also, it's funny because I've got this song called Clown World, which my girlfriend comes and plays clown horn on when I do it live. And I hadn't realized it's actually got really sinister connotations now. Once you know that we're living in a clown world, it's very dark. I mean, when you look at all the clowns that are around, like, you know, the Joker,
It's an archetype, isn't it? The
it is.
laughing evil person. I mean,
Yeah.
in films, why are baddies always the ones that are laughing?
Yeah.
They're always like the cackling lunatic, aren't
Well,
they?
they're the ones that seem to be enjoying life, whereas, again, going back to a detective, they're the ones that are alcoholics
Brooding,
and divorced and stuff like that, who have had to put up with all this trauma and looking into these people types of. I mean, you're a Batman fan, Chris, and the Joker. How many times has that been played over recent history now in films by different people?
Five, three or
How
four
many
off the
times do
top
they have to
of my head.
keep coming back out and re? Haven't they brought a series, a mini series out as well of the Joker?
Penguin, no, Penguin.
Penguin. Yeah, well, Penguin's another one, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Were you referring back, Trevor, to the Nephilim look like clowns kind of
Yeah. I
shenanigans?
mean,
Because that's.
you see that all over the place. I mean, even amongst the way the woke people dress, dye their hair funny colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's become a thing, hasn't it? The blue
Yeah.
hair. I mean,
Yeah, yeah,
where did
yeah.
that come from? How did that all of a sudden become a thing to
Yeah.
dye your hair?
And in fact, I used to
Might
know
dye mine.
and the Hollywood sort of costume designer. I knew her years ago. And she'd been in Barcelona. She went to Barcelona. She was incredibly talented. But she sort of left college and went to Barcelona when she was 16, and she just talked her way into Lindsay Kemp's dance troupe. And she was working with Lindsay Kemp, who was basically dresses as a clown. He whites his face up, and he was the same guy that David Bowie studied under,
Right.
as well,
I
you know.
it's
And she came back, and I worked in her mum's bar. Her mum had a bar based on the Ramblas in Barcelona, and it was a really kind of cool atmosphere, loads of bohemian people there. And but she's gone off. She designed that wig for not just the wig, the costume that Elton John wore for his big party. Remember that big pink kind of Louis the
yeah.
14th?
Yeah.
And she did, like, she's done Interview with a Vampire. She's done all sorts of stuff. I mean, amazingly talented. I saw a picture of her getting a CB, what was it?
CB.
CBE, yeah. And she's gone from being a really beautiful girl to looking like the Joker. There was a picture of her getting a CBE, and she's looks like the Joker. I think I sent you
You did,
a picture, and it's quite shocking that
But it's
those
interesting, though, as
Hollywood people.
a lot of these people we found. I mean, there was a famous video that Julian Huxley did, where he mapped a eugenics. I don't know if you've seen me play it sometimes. I play a lot of the life talks because it sums up really what the eugenics thing is, you know, the bloodline type of stuff is, where they're
Yeah.
mapping out all these people. And but some of them, it's quite, it's not in plain sight, it's quite stealth, because a lot of
Yeah.
them, like costume designers or set designers, and they're calling them geniuses. So what are they actually injected into the backgrounds of these films? And Chris found out one of the
Yeah.
guys in who worked with Christopher Nolan, he's called Nathan Crowley, and he's actually a descendant of
Yeah.
Aleister Crowley, and he's an Oscar-winning set designer.
He seems to crop up everywhere, doesn't he, Aleister Crowley?
Yeah, I mean, talking about Nephilim and clowns, I mean,
yes,
is that another angle down there, you know, as well?
Well, it made me think about corporations, because what's a corporation other than a kind of disembodied thought form? It's like a physical manifestation of an entity without a soul.
Non-existent reality.
Yeah, but it's just a thought form, and it's like a person that is entirely concerned with feeding their ego.
Yeah,
which is the definition of Satanism.
Well, what is it in it? I forgot the word now. It's a psychotic entity, isn't it? A corporation.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I don't know if you saw John Harris's talk from way back. It's one of the things that really woke me up.
And me, yeah, going back into the 2000s, isn't it?
That. Yeah, the free men on the land. And he was talking about how everything is a corporation now, including the judiciary, the police.
Yeah.
Everything
government.
Is, yeah. The government, the Labour Party.
Very sad what happened to John. He was...
Yes.
Well, he ended his life, didn't he? And
yeah.
He sort of denounced a lot of what he'd been doing as well.
It was like he'd been got at.
Or the pressure had got to him, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I think it's very sad. And I'd love to interview him. He's one of them guys you'd love to have a chat with.
Oh, his talk was amazing, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
And he was, and what was he, a carpenter?
A carpenter.
He was working with his hands.
Very humble guy.
Yeah.
Or he seemed a very humble guy. Didn't know him, but yeah. Really good, really interesting listen.
Well, you can't work with your hands without kind of understanding a little bit about nature and spirituality. And
well, you're sending yourself on a regular basis into the alpha state, aren't you?
Yeah. Really.
I often thought, why did I like sculpting? Because you can be kind of, you can sit there and then 7 hours has gone by, and you're not thinking about anything. You just. You know, your thoughts are going all over the shop.
I often thought, why did Chris like sculpting? Maybe it's a gift so I can take piss out of him for his lifetime.
I think it was a getaway from you.
Probably, Chris.
I don't mean to keep going on about him, but I always found it funny that when I grew where we grew up, my sculptors used to call them tortured souls. And they were. I did feel like a tortured soul living in fucking Huddersfield with Dom. and now
I'm going to get his filing out.
I changed the name to Gaping Gobs, which is literally what we are now, isn't it? We're just gobs gobbing it off on a podcast.
Definitely in the last 5 years.
Which is kind of weird, isn't it, really, when you think? Because I don't feel like a tortured soul anymore, so I don't call them tortured souls.
But there's something about working with
players. I'll have to up the game.
It's so beautiful, and you can do kind of just the minimum to it to make it use the nature of the clay and kind of have some happy accidents with what you're doing. And there's something I used to make loads of little Fimo models.
Yeah, that's how I started, actually.
I'm a kind of cartoonist, so I used to make those and loved it. Yeah, I was thinking of getting back to that, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I've been looking by weirdos today.
Limp-wristed
fuckers.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, you're outnumbered today, mate.
I need to get some people on who do some MMA or some weightlifting.
Yeah,
I just as a side note, I went to see what is it with my nipper the other day? Minecraft at the cinema. I don't know if you know what this means, Trevor, but I've noticed in Minecraft, in the new one, they had a tesseract, a cube, which is basically means a cube within a cube. And I looked on Wikipedia, because loads of films have got these things in, haven't they? Portals and tesseracts. The Marvel films have, the DC films had it. They don't really explain
Super
what it
Hero
is.
Hero 6. That was a big one, wasn't it?
I think they had a tesseract in it as well. But if you look on Wiki, what one is, it's a cube within a cube. So you've got the cube thing going on again, as usual. But even if you look, I've tried to look on the Wikipedia version of what it is, and it just fried my brain. It's a geometric... It can mean anything, and it unfolds into a cross. But I couldn't get my head around what my point is, why is it in all these films?
It's Saturn, isn't it?
Saturn, yeah.
Yeah, it's the hexagon.
Yeah, it unfolds into all these different shapes, and the explanation were insane. But it's in so many films, and it was in Minecraft, and also it had Jack Black in it. And the amount of times he fired up the devil horns, I can't even count.
Jack Black, another one to get jabbed, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was, yeah. tried to make it funny by dancing around, but it was just.
And now he's making kids
joke.
Pro films. Well, yeah. He did Kung Fu Panda, didn't he?
Yeah.
Jack Black.
And he's, honestly, the amount of times he did that, flashed up the devil horns. I know he's in a rock band, so maybe it's a bit of that or whatever, but I don't know.
It was inserted into that, wasn't it?
Well, films are very heavily edited, especially a big release like that with two big famous people in him and that Jason Momoa guy. It was actually quite a funny film, actually.
But you think there's two entities there, though, Chris, isn't there? There's the Hollywood film, yeah? And it's got to match up with the game in world. So you've got two huge... It's not just like making a film now with an advert, like with Coca-Cola in it. Mm. You're actually making it for two things, aren't you? It's two platforms you're aiming at. And you're probably trying to... They probably aimed it to drag new people to watch Minecraft and vice versa.
Well, I mean, they release a kid's film and it's guaranteed, even if it's shite, it's guaranteed to make X amount of money in the school holidays, isn't it? Because parents take the kids to the cinema.
You're going to get some peace.
So it's going to... Well, my mum used to say... she got me hooked on films because she used to take me to the cinema. And I think she literally said, it's the only time you shut the fuck up. I remember her taking me and falling asleep.
Unless Dom watched Wardrobe.
I remember taking me and falling asleep. The only time I wouldn't speak is going to the cinema. But, and also in the Minecraft game itself, because me and my daughter had a go on it. I actually quite enjoy the game because you're building stuff or whatever. You can play it together. But what I realised is you build this world, right? And obviously, because you don't want to ruin that world that you've built, you can duplicate it and then play in the duplication world and the other one.
Yeah, it's simulation-esque, isn't it?
A matrix.
So there can be a duplication.
Well, they get very into it as well. And I also looked at it, Chris, as well. It's quite, when my young un were playing it, it's quite, if you want to pigeonhole autism, it's very square. Everything's rigid. There's no nice feel to it. You know, there's no, like you guys talking about arty-farty stuff there. There is an organic feel because you can't create everything exact, can you, when you're doing it by hand? Even if it looks exact, it's never going to be exact, is it? Whereas
they're going for the retro. Like, it's gone for the retro graphic.
I think there's more to it than that, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it than that retro graphic.
Mm.
But Lego changed, didn't it? It went from being just some bricks that you can make anything out of to everything being prescribed.
Yeah.
It sort of took the imagination out of it.
Yeah. I quite like Lego. I've actually, in my attic, I've got a... in fact, someone messaged me on Instagram today. I forgot who it was. And he just built a... X-Wing fighter out of Lego. He just texted me that today.
Yeah, my young man used to like Lego. But I remember taking him to watch the Lego film. And the first Lego film that they made was all about, I think it had Morgan Freeman in. And it was all about a simple builder, because they're all builders. And they had a song that they sung in the morning, like Kirby Vax. Everything is awesome. And it weren't awesome. It were, but that sums up what we're living through, that film there. Where they had somebody who had, I'd say, difficulties mentally, but they're making out that he was going to be the saviour. These are sort of the idols that people are looking up to now. Everything isn't awesome, no. But just kidding you into it, yeah, everything.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Trying to tell you.
Song used to make me cringe. But I watched the new Gladiator film for my sins, and it had Denzel Washington in. Who apparently is one of these people who speak out about sort of racism and what we think it is and all this type of stuff. Yeah, he was in there, pigeonholed as the black person, taking Oliver Reed's part of the first Gladiator, which was a well-made film. I remember me and Chris were on holiday in Malta when they were making it with our two youngest, eldest, at the time back in 99. And he was a black guy with basically training slaves to fight, and he ended up taking over the Senate. Well, I'm not saying that's true, by the way. I'm saying this is what the film depicts, which isn't fucking true, is it? I mean, let's face it. No. There are also black guys in the Senate. The black guys, there's some one, at least one in the Senate with a white robe on, with all the Romans there. And I'm thinking, that's just fucking bollocks.
I always thought when that came out, Gladiator 2, because it's made by Ridley Scott as well, isn't it? I thought it looked like a parody, you know. Gladiator 2. I'm pretty sure he died at the end of the first one.
Well, they're mocking, aren't they?
It's a piss take.
They're mocking. I mean, they mock in all sorts of ways. I mean, I don't. Do you remember all those BBC characters? I've got them written down somewhere. There was,
Chuffing them. You could pull about 20 of them out, couldn't you?
yeah. Well, there was Phil McCann,
Yeah, that's right.
who was at a garage. There was Sarah Blizzard, who was a weather
Yeah,
forecaster.
exactly.
I've got them here. Hang on a
Man
sec.
in bed was one, wasn't it? There was a guy.
Yeah, man in bed. Yeah, we're in hospital or something like
Oh,
that. Man in bed.
Lieutenant Les McBurney was a firefighter. He was all on the
Les
BBC.
what? Burn.
Burnie.
Les McBurney. PC Rob Banks.
I remember that one.
I remember that.
Andrew Drinkwater from the Water Research Centre. But then it goes, like, if you look at, say, Einstein, I was reading, this is someone you should get on, actually, Stephen Young. Have you heard of him?
No.
He's written a book about, A Fool's Wisdom, it's called, and from Science, Conspiracies, and the Art of Alchemy.
Right.
And
Send us his
he,
details over if you've got it.
yeah, no, I will. Yeah, he's it, it's fantastic, his stuff. I saw him on the Delling Pod, and because he's a theoretical physicist that realized that it's all bullshit.
Yeah,
Yeah,
well, that'd be
so
awful, that wouldn't it? That'd be awful, that wouldn't it? To really go through. I mean, us numbnuts here, who you guys play a bit of music, or you play a bit of music. Chris plays pottery, does a bit of pottery, paints teeth. I piss about doing research. It's not that far to fall for us, is it?
No.
For somebody who's a physicist and got into that world, oh, I'd hate to be
Yeah,
smacked
but
around the head there.
he's gone completely into alchemy now,
Right,
because
fantastic.
the difference being, but what I was going to say was about mockery. So he was talking about Einstein. So that means one stone, the foundation stone.
Einstein
Einstein,
means one stone.
one
Fucking hell.
stone, the
Yeah.
foundation stone.
Right in
So,
front of your
and
eyes every time, isn't it? Where
so
does that
he,
come from, Trevor? Einstein? Is that where does one, what is it? Latin? What?
Einstein,
Yeah.
what
The actual meaning, Einstein, a bit
the
like.
meaning of the guy that the theory of relativity.
No,
He's not.
Einstein is. I mean, where do you get
Oh,
one stone
Einstein.
from?
Well, it's like, is it? It sounds German to me, isn't it?
Einstein. Yeah, it does actually, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and then the quantum thing. What's his name? Schrödinger was about shredding things into small pieces.
Right.
Schrödinger. So it's all there in the names of all these people. They're mocking us.
Or have we seen the code? You know,
Yes.
is it the
Well,
code?
that's
Is it just
true.
written and it's just drawn in, draws that word and name into that particular point in time of
But
the
it
simulation,
makes
if
me
you like?
wonder if there's a bunch of Nephilim in the background sitting there giggling.
Laughing their
Oh,
tits off. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're definitely
Well,
having a piss.
especially with Stephen Hawking. Did you see that video of him with the translator?
No, what
No.
was that? Go on.
Oh, fucking hell. It was hilarious. I mean, I don't know if I should do an impersonation of Stephen Hawking,
It's all
but
right.
he was doing
I don't think he'll come
he was
round and
sort of
twat you.
saying something completely unintelligible for 2 seconds, and
Right.
this bloke was saying, what he's saying is that matter is just universal, and
Yes.
he made
I have
one
seen that,
stupid.
yeah.
I mean,
Fucking hell. And
yeah.
also, Stephen Hawking, that technology app, right, that made
Yeah.
him talk, he's the only one who ever had it. It never
Yeah.
existed anywhere else. How did
Yeah.
it talk from him just sitting there? Apparently, read his brain and just vocalized what he was thinking. I mean, no one
Yeah.
else has ever had that. That's never existed.
No. So there's a chapter in Stephen Young's book that's called Hawking Isn't Talking. But he's talking about alchemy being like if you think of a human body, and he takes apart the whole atomic theory. I mean, and he says if you look at the human body in terms of modern science and atoms, it's really difficult to understand. But if you look at it in terms of alchemy, so you've got fire, air, earth, and water, it's much more easy to understand, because you've got earth is your bones and your tissue. Air is what you breathe. Water is obviously the sweat, blood, and tears. And fire is the energy and ideas. And so you can think of a human body in terms of alchemy really easily. And it's like a science with divinity.
Yeah, I don't think I want to listen to him. I'm going to get Brian Cox on instead. He's got a better leather jacket. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, Brian Cox. Oh. No, it sounds, that's why my really album's called The Facepalm Years.
Yeah.
I watch a guy on YouTube, and what's his name? He's an American guy, an old guy. Mud Fossil University, is it? Yeah, that's
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
have
of
you
that.
Seen some of that, Trevor? And he talks about the whole world just being made of, like, dragons. And, I mean, whether it's batshit, I don't know, but some of it is pretty, I don't know. It'll take, for instance, I'll tell you one, for instance, that were it. He was a massive hole, and he's got a feather, and he points at the screen with it. And he goes on quite a bit, but he seems like a nice old bloke. And he's talking about, basically, there's a hole somewhere, I forget where it was, and he thinks it's an artery of a heart, basically. And then it sounds crazy, and then there's dark matter around this hole, and he's saying that's blood, and he's pointing it out, and that looks like blood running down. Then he takes a heart, and he shows a dissection of a heart. And you got to admit, it looks pretty...
It's very similar to that, isn't it, Chris? When they look up and they show you like a computer from a city and it shows you like a computer.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But I suppose it's tapping into that, you know, you must have seen those trees, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of tapping into that same
and
thing.
And mountains that look like giants.
But that comes back to the Minecraft thing, doesn't it? Where there's only so many shapes, there's only so many noise. The coding is, that's the coding, isn't it?
But he pans out from, you know, Google Maps, for instance. And you can't deny that a lot of this area he's looking at looks like tissue. It doesn't look like, it looks, he's organic, but it looks like organic tissue. And then he points out the blood, and even, I think he's done some statues, and he reckons that they were just frozen in time, basically. Fossilized in time. And you have to admit, from a sculpting point of view, if you like, some of them, there would be no point to put them in that position, if you like, you know, take all that time to make an almost perfect giant statue of a human and put it in that position. You'd be kind of, you know, making it difficult for difficult's sake, if you know what I mean. But they look like they've been Medusa frozen in time, some of these statues. Anyway, have a look at Mud Fossil University, I think it's called. It's interesting.
I've looked at his stuff before. It is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What are we looking at? Are we all mad? I don't know.
Yes.
Do you know what it is, Chris?
Are we talking fucking loony tunes?
But when we do
here,
these podcasts, right, we're having conversations.
Anybody
who wants to say that's definitely that, then we can't say that, because nobody can say that that's definitely that, because we don't know what the fuck's going on.
And it's just interesting, isn't it? Very interesting stuff. And it's an interesting question to put to someone, right? I've been doing this at work quite a lot. Ask them, because everyone sits and watches YouTube videos or whatever these days. Ask people what they watch on YouTube, and you get some really weird answers back. You know, like because everyone's got their own thing, aren't they? Like, for instance, last night I was watching, I like watching about those evangelistic preachers in America. You know, who, what's his name? What's that guy's name, Dom?
Oh, I forgot his name.
Graham.
Copeland. Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, right.
Which is the same name, actually, if
yes.
The police guy, isn't it?
I know, yeah. I tried doing the CIA genealogy to see if they were linked. I couldn't find anything. Although there was actually one name that was linked to them.
To the Copeland.
He's got a middle name, and the Copelands use that name as well. And I forgot what the name is now. It was like a spurious middle name. But they're both... use that name, and I couldn't find the link back to that name, because a lot of them use a middle name, and it's an old surname that they've carried through. Don't know why.
That Kenneth Copeland, I mean, like I said, I like watching about these evangelistic preachers, because I think some of them are actually demonic. I mean,
he looks
insane.
You're being nice there, Chris.
Yeah, well, that's one of my go-to watches. Anyway, I asked someone at work, one of my mates at work, and he said he watches people being attacked by alligators. And, you know, you just get really weird answers off. And then this girl goes, obviously, this girl actually said this to me. She goes, obviously, I watch ones on crocheting, but I also watch. And I went, do you mean obviously? There's nothing obvious about watching crocheting.
But they feed you a whole load of stuff on those algorithms of animals eating other animals.
Well, I think he's a big animal lover. So it was about people. Taunting them and getting attacked by them because they're taunting them. That were his point, I think.
Evangelists, they all have this kind of stylistic way of talking
believe in God.
Would you like a cup of tea?
I did.
You always had an A on the end. Tea. Yeah.
I wrote a stand-up based on an evangelistic preacher for my best man speech for a mate of mine. At his talk where I got like not did like the Kenny Everett thing. To him. It went on for about
Brotherly love.
20 minutes.
Brotherly,
I
brotherly,
had
brotherly.
music playing behind me as well. I know I take it piss because I were only brown faced there
Yeah.
as well. So I'll
I know
be
a really good joke about an evangelistic
reverse
preacher.
racist.
Shall I tell it you? I know a really good joke about an evangelistic preacher. This preacher goes to this town. It'll only take me a minute, but it's a good one. Rick Dunn told me this joke years and years ago. It's one of my favorites. This preacher goes to this town and he says, with the power of God, I can heal anyone of any ailment they've got. So someone puts their hand up. What's your problem, son? He says, I've got a really squeaky voice. He says, all right.
I
Guy with a squeaky
think I
voice.
know.
Go, do you know it? Go behind the
I agree.
curtain.
Go on.
Go there in the curtain and with the word of God, I'll shout out in a minute and you'll be cured. Another guy, he's on crutches. He goes, you go behind the curtain. With the word of God, I'll cure her of your ailment. He goes behind there and he goes, now, guy with the crutches, I want you to cast away your crutches and with the power of God, you'll be walking. His crutches come skidding under the curtain. And he goes, now, man with a stupid voice, I want you to shout out, with the power of God, you'll be cured. And he goes, he's fallen over.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist it.
Well, I hope you enjoy Chris's stand up there. If you want to book him for any
for
for 21st birthday bar mitzvahs, blah blah blah. He's able for booking. In fact, he'll come and pay you to book him.
I've got a Linford Christie joke. I don't know if tell me if this is racist, right?
Don't matter
Yeah,
to me.
so Linford Christie goes
I'm
into a
racist to my
golf.
mum.
He goes through into a golf club and says, yeah, I want to join this golf club. So they go, oh, sorry, we don't take black people here. And he goes, well, you don't take and they say, no, just down the road. They're about 20 minutes down the road, there's another golf club. They take black people. And he goes, what, do you know who I am? And they go, no, who are you? And he says, I'm Linford Christie, the 100-meter gold medalist. And they say, oh, sorry, 10 minutes down the road.
Quality.
That
That would be classed as racist now. That's not racist, is it? He's just learning
No.
about how fast he is.
Yeah,
I thought he
exactly.
went about his lunchbox.
I've presumed it was going towards that as well.
I
I
just
know. Well,
presumed. Maybe that's my
it's
where
kind
my
of
mind
relief,
goes.
isn't
Maybe where
It's
our
a
mind
bit of
goes.
tension.
I tell you what, one of the film I watched recently was They Won't Grow Old by the AI World War One film by Peter Jackson.
He's doing a lot of them, isn't he, Peter Jackson? He did that
Hobbit.
Bane stuff, didn't he?
Well, he actually owns an AI company. We did something on this in one of our, I can't remember which one it was, Chris. He one of the first ones to do that. I think he sold it for a lot of money. Sir Peter Jackson. Is it Peter Jackson? Am I right?
Yeah, it's
There,
Peter
Chris.
Jackson, yeah.
Sir Peter Jackson, I think it is, a New Zealand guy. But They Won't Grow Old, which I thought was an horrible title, to be honest with you, was all about the World War One. It was made, I think, in 2018, or released then, and it was made by BBC again and a few other people. And I thought the whole thing was very distasteful on so many fronts. Firstly, when they were obviously had the old veterans from all the recordings they've got, they've pulled out some of the voices from there from the 60s and what have you, the last recordings of these people. Basically, all singing the song that they all wanted to join up, which is fair enough. They probably all did at that particular point. But the whole thing was a mishmash. It wasn't like the Somme, Passchendaele, Ypres, or whatever war they were fighting, whatever battle they were fighting. It was just a mishmash, and it just showed dead bodies with their heads shot off, but in colour.
Oh yeah.
And
Oh yeah, you put
blown up
color into everything. I remember that.
into shell holes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just d basically destroyed. For the first time, you actually saw a dead body with a bullet through his head.
More celebration, I would say, fire of the mass
Also
genocide.
propagandizing,
sort of romanticizing it, sort of
Well,
thing.
do you know what? That's probably the right word, the romanticising of it, because the
Yeah.
whole talk all the way through, up until the end, which I'll get to in a sec, all the talk all the way through was how much of a fantastic time they had and they wouldn't change it for a thing. And they were like, what? How many people did they actually interview? Because I've got books of diaries and stuff like this. None of them said they wanted to go back. None of them said that it was a, they'd been basically being lied to and what have you.
Yeah.
But at the end of the film, it said something like that a million British and Commonwealth soldiers were killed. That were it. No French, German, Americans, or anybody else who were fighting there, Russians, were obviously killed. Even though there were more of them than the British and Commonwealth killed.
27 Russians, I think it was, wasn't it? 27 million Russians.
Something like that. Funnily enough, guys, there was no mention of the Spanish Kung Flu. Not one mention that, oh, we were terrified of going home because there was something even scarier waiting for us because it apparently killed 250,000 people.
How many English died, sorry, fair?
Well, it said a million British and Commonwealth soldiers. Mm. But they made out that the whole film was made out that it was the British that won the war, if there was anything to win. They didn't make mention that the British banks had funded both sides or
started it.
Scammed them out by making defective boots so they could get a bigger contract by changing them more often, even though they were all sold at black market as well. A bit like it reminded me, I was writing a chapter in my book that I'm writing in a minute, and it reminded, it was all about the PPE, and it reminded me of the contracts that were getting, that they were getting in the PPE contracts, reminded me of the contracts that were getting in World War One. I think Selfridges got a massive contract to make certain areas of clothing, but there was a big scam about making them, not Selfridges, but about these manufacturers making them defective. So they actually made more, so the contract was just continually going. I remember reading in one of my books where they had to shoot a certain, how many belts of machine gun bullets, just into no man's land for nothing, every day, just to keep the quarter of bullets you used.
I mean, you're right, Fatty. Just think of the PPI thing. But then no one have been watching it like they were.
PPE thing, yeah.
PPE thing, sir. Yeah. Well, do you remember my missus pointed out, and I thought this was fascinating, I'd never even thought about this. If you think of a World War II Spitfire, right, what's it got on the side of it? It's got a target on it. And it's got a target on its fuselage, then it's got it on both the wings.
That was used in the mods as well, wasn't it? Area.
But then if you think of an American plane or a World War II, for it's same in World War One, by the way, World War Two, and then you think of a German one, they've all got the markings in exactly the same place, fuselage and on the wings. Which if you were trying to, the Germans have crosshairs, crosshairs literally. Target on the English ones, and what's the American one? It's a star. And the Japanese one's a star as well.
Like an explosion.
Boris Johnson.
No, but what I mean is, fired. Why have all the planes got the same markings on them, for starters? And why is it on the place where you would shoot them to take them down?
Well, John Maxwell pointed out, he was talking about all this, that the police are the same, the judicial systems are the same in every country. No matter which country you go to, the military are all the same ranks and stuff like that. It's all the same thing, isn't it?
It's all corporations.
It's all corporations. But a lot of these contracts, in this chapter of the book, I pointed out that the contracts that were in World War One, I use World War One as an example. For instance, the Daily Mail that was used to in 2020, right, is owned by the Rothermere family. I might have got that wrong, or it was owned by the Rothermere family, the Viscount Rothermere. He also owned the Evening Standard, I might have got that wrong, but he owned it with the Lebedevs, who were Boris Johnson's best mate, the Russian KGB guy. I don't know if you know about that, Trev. So his dad, they own part of that, and they own the Independent as well. And right. Carrie Johnson's father was one of the founders of the Independent.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is it's the same people that were doing the...
When you trace these back, how far back have you gone? I mean, have you traced these families right back to the Roman Empire?
A lot of them, yeah.
Because basically, it's still the Roman Empire.
We've just been talking about Gladiator, but is this the same fucking people? It's like, but also what I noticed with Bloodlines is everybody thinks that when I do that thing that they're all bad people. And I don't know if they're good or bad, but I don't believe they can all be bad. Just the law of averages says they're not all bad people, right? Some of them will realise what's going on. Just like we were talking before, that just because somebody's got money doesn't mean to say they're not stupid and they're wearing a mask and getting jabbed and banging pots and pans. Because I know
they're
many
quite
people
often the ones that get bumped off, aren't they?
Well, in World War One, they had a massive clear out because the biggest, the most, the dangerous, most dangerous job in World War One was being a captain, a lieutenant. Yeah. Or an NCO, right? They were the ones that got knocked off more than anybody. And they were all aristocrats, or the majority of them were.
Yeah, and they all got jabbed as well.
They all got jabbed, yes. And the same thing, you know, was going through everything that went through World War One. I use that as an example, showing World War Two, the Boer War, and everything else was the same as what happened in 2020. Same.
And it was the start of propaganda as well, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Ironically, one of them was the Viscount of Tavistock. I mean, you can't even make this shit up if you wanted to. He was Viscount of Bedford and Tavistock. Yeah. You can't even make, if you really wanted to make all that up, the law of averages. Well, somebody has, like you said, the Nephilim might be behind the scenes, tapping away at the computer, having a good laugh at us.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it's like there's other similarities to now as well, because you, if you see what they did, if you understand that both sides are controlled by the same entity, then they caused the pogroms, which caused all the Jews to then flee all the countries and end up in Israel, which is put there and designed to destabilize the Middle East. And now they're causing all sorts of other people to come and migrate to the West.
Yes. To wipe out all the indigenous people in European countries.
Yeah, yeah. So they're basically clearing away a whole section of the middle part of the earth.
Well, if you think about it, if you get third world people in a first world country, without passports, one, they're going to bring over, do whatever that, well, one, the criminal element's going to come over because they're the ones that want to escape for a start, right? Also, the people that are running the country can treat them how they want to. Whereas with us, they'll get, like they saw in 2020, there was some kickback. Whether the most of the people went along with it, but in 2020 there were millions of people that said no, fuck you, millions of people with the spirit as well.
Yeah, and those people they're bringing in don't have any loyalty or culture. They don't have anything to defend here.
No. So they're desperate. Yeah, which is another thing as well.
Also, they're victims.
Yes,
they're all victims.
Yeah,
and we kind of can lose sight of the fact that the people who are doing this aren't, you know, it isn't the migrants, or it's the people that have put them here.
Yeah, soy boy, queer Stalin.
Yeah. Oh God.
Then he's got he's got your average. Well, it's just got the populace arguing over migrants.
Yeah,
we're created going right back to Tony Blair's there when he started bombing the Middle East. You know, so and then you're surprised that people turn up. You know.
How is that guy still having a platform?
It's quite
well, I mean, that was trolling, wasn't it? To make him the peace envoy.
Yeah.
How peace can envoy. That be?
Yeah. In the Middle East.
In the Middle East. The ultimate peace day.